Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/Wondery and use code Wondery for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/Wondery. Code Wondery.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the Nerds Podcast number 857. This episode is brought to you by the enhanced editions of George R.R. Martin's Game of Thrones. Books are available exclusively on iBooks, including the just-released A Feast for Crows enhanced edition. This is interactive character maps, hundreds of author notes, beautiful illustrations, a sigil guide just to keep track of everything.
There's so much to keep
track
of.
There's a lot to keep track of.
That would be very handy.
All the you could major in Game of Thrones. It's a whole course study. All these extras bring the thrilling adventure to life and help you stay on top of the epic storylines. And whether you're fluent in Dothraki or you're a reader who's digging into the series for the first time or you watch the show and you're like, I want to see where these came from. I want to see how this was different. These enhanced editions are the best way to experience Game of Thrones. Get the whole series, including A Feast for Crows enhanced edition, exclusively on iBooks at apple.co/Game of Thrones. Not available in all countries. That's something I should say. So hopefully it is available in your country. Don't be mad at me if it's not available in your country. I didn't do it.
You don't make the rules.
I don't make the rules. I wish I did. Then I would make it available everywhere, but I don't get this option. I'm not the Bruce Almighty of you. No? Not so much? Acker and Black are shaking their heads.
But shaking our heads, yes.
No, side to side is not yes. Acker and Blacker are going to be on an upcoming podcast. That's why they're sitting here. We just recorded a podcast with them. So listen to that one. But this right now is technically a hostful.
Yeah.
So here's what we did. So Project Alpha was a legendary digital networks programming initiative on that you can subscribe to. You get a free 30-day trial at projectalpha.com. It's kind of an amalgam of Nerdist content, Geek and Sundry content, new shows, exciting shows like Sidekick with Matt Myra. So Jonah and I went and did an episode of Sidekick with Matt Myra, and it was so much fun. I said, we should just make this a hostful podcast. This is exactly what this is. Yeah. So you can, this is the audio from Sidekick with Matt Myra, which you can then go watch at projectalpha.com. And watch all the episodes at projectalpha.com too. So Sidekick is basically, Matt had this idea for a show, which is great, where he's the sidekick. Because he, you know, he was a sidekick on a lot of podcasts, he felt. And so he said, well, I'm just going to be a sidekick in my own show. So people come on and he becomes the sidekick and they effectively host the show. So that's what happens. So Jonah is hosting the show to Matt's sidekick and I am the guest. So, but it all works out like a hostful podcast. Tough to get the sister wives together because Jonah's doing a million things and Matt's writing on the Goldbergs. And so, and then I'm doing some stuff too. So this, it's just fun to get together with these guys and be able to pretend like we're the only ones in the world doing a podcast. It's just us three against the world. So here's the Nerdist Podcast number 857, a hostful podcast, Sidekick with Matt Myra. Katie, roll the thing.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sidekick with me, Matt Myra. In case you haven't heard, I am not the host of this show. I am the sidekick. Also, in case you haven't heard, bird is the word. I don't know what you're going to do with that information, but you're creative. You'll figure something out. Make it your safe word. Write it on a boat. Get it tattooed just below your belly button. Or fuck it. Choose a different word altogether. Last time I checked, this was a free country for now. You have the power, and there are a lot of great words out there. Banana. Jumbo. Olorophile. Right? What's that?
Olorophile.
I, Laura File. Thank you, Josh, who wrote that. As in the host of tonight's show, who apparently is also an iLoraphile, which means he fucking loves cats. But also, he's an incredible host. He's one of the co-hosts of the Nerdist podcast. He's hosted The Meltdown with Kumail Nanjiani. It's actually called The Meltdown with Jonah and Kumail. That's why it sounds weird when I say it like that. He's also the host of the comedy travel show on CISO called Hidden America. And the host, Jesus Christ, bro. Also the host of the reboot of Mystery Science Theater 3000. Plus, he's been on TV a lot. And he has his own goddamn record label. Oh, when I met him, he was too drunk to remember me at a comedy death ray show. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together violently for Jonah Ray. Welcome.
Oh, wow. Thank you so much, Matt.
Jonah, I can't believe you made time in your schedule.
Oh, it's totally fine. Just to your point, though, I wasn't too drunk to remember. I was too drunk when it happened. So it's a bit of a difference.
I get it. Yeah. You know what? You've come a long way. You're very busy. Thank you for finding time to be here on this program.
Oh, of course. I've been wanting to do it for a while, and I'm glad that I got an opportunity to be squeezed in before you wrapped it all up.
We're going to wrap
canceled.
It up.
Are you getting canceled?
I don't know.
I'll think about it.
Thanks, Chris.
Well, it seems like things are going great. It's the thing you love, you.
Me. I do love me. And I also love not being the focus of attention, which is why.
No shit.
Jonah, we both pulled our weight equally on the Nerdist podcast. So much weight more than the others.
I've taken lots of naps during these podcasts.
Very true. But this is my show, and that means you have to do work. So your first job is going to be delivering tonight's monologue.
Sounds great.
It's great.
Can we have a disclaimer that I did not write these jokes?
My name's on the show. They know that.
Okay.
It's going to be truly inspired. I'm going to make sure everyone appreciates it with some sweet bass lines to zing your punchline.
Ooh.
Yeah. I'm going to cross.
You a little U-Bass? Kevin U-Bass?
Oh, my God. That's a fucking great name. Hi, I'm Kevin U-Bass and the Tonight Matt Band. Not as good as U-Bass.
Oh, well. Let's go for it. It is time for headlines. A zoo in the Netherlands has... Matt, you're going to love this one. A zoo in the Netherlands has created an experimental program known as, and I kid you not, Tinder for orangutans.
Wow.
Yes, and this allows female orangutans to choose a mate by picking through digital images on a touchscreen. Mm. That's just what we need, too. Whole bunch of orangutans taking shirtless mirror selfies to show off their abs with the caption, work hard, play harder, banana.
They would write banana. They would write banana.
You know, the joke, even if I said all the words correctly, got what it deserved. It was a long way to go, but it also wasn't worth it. You know, Scottish scientists have discovered that dogs actually find certain types of music soothing and even pleasurable, specifically reggae and soft rock. Reggae and soft rock, Matt.
Yeah.
It looks like Sting finally found his new audience. Ooh, come on, you're playing a bass. Play some Sting.
That's it, right?
No.
That was technically a sting.
That was a sting, yeah.
Thank you, Chris. See you later. Yeah.
Call the police. Okay, so this is great. Apparently, Matt, you're again. I don't mean to say this about all of them, but you're gonna love this one.
Oh, sure.
This is apparently in South Carolina, a single parking space is being sold for $74,000.
Wow.
That's right. For $74,000, you can buy a parking space in downtown Charleston, or for $2 more, you can just buy downtown Charleston. Give me a little, My Name is Mud.
What?
My Name is Mud.
Who's
Primus?
That? No.
From Primus?
Don't know it.
Yeah. You like Primus? Matt, and I was lying all the other times, but you're going to love this one. A Texan man was charged for possession of methamphetamine, but it turned out to just be kitty litter. Sounds to me like that meth was cut with some nasty shit.
Cats.
To me, though, it's always been the urine that smells worse, right, Matt? You can get behind that.
I agree.
Am I right, audience? You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Give it up for cat urine.
Cat piss. Cat piss. Cat piss. Matt, you're going to love this one. This is great. In Pennsylvania, a pizza delivery man was robbed at gunpoint by a teenager named Sheldon Isaiah Cheese. That's right. His last name was Cheese. And I don't see what the big deal is. I get held up by cheese all the time. Oh, sometimes I just eat it up and I'm like, I want to go to the bathroom, sit on that toilet. And Matt, you know what I'm talking about. And I'm just kind of like,
oh, the dumbest thing on the internet.
That's the last time anyone in Pennsylvania orders extra cheese on their pizza, right? I spent too long doing the constipation joke, Matt.
Well, I think you tagged it enough, right?
I think so. This guy, he's gonna need a Gouda defense attorney. You know, he did, though, Matt. Catch this. You'll love this. He did.
Hang on. What are we talking about?
The motherfucker Isaiah Cheese. That dumb piece of shit who... I don't even remember what he did. He held somebody up.
He held up a pizza man.
He held up a pizza man.
Ugh, crazy.
Oh, my God.
What's he going to do with that money?
I think he's going to put it in a Swiss bank account. How dare he steal from a working man? Obviously, this kid is a Munster.
Give it up for Jonah Ray, everybody.
On a scale of one to get the fuck out, how'd I do?
You were 4. Well, because I don't know if you guys know this, but at 5 is get the fuck out.
Oh, okay, great.
You were 4. Sweet. I think that's great.
Well, I don't want to shit on the process. Let's keep going.
No, Jonah, I've known you for a long time.
Sure have, Matt. In a real natural transition.
I'm not here to make natural transitions. I'm just here to do what's in prompter.
I'm here to make friends.
Oh, that's weird. Okay. Jonah, the question tonight I'm asking you, because we've known each other for so long, what is something about yourself you've never mentioned before?
Well, I tell a lot of people I am 6'4", but I'm 6'5". Thank you so much.
Jonah,
I tell people everything. I'm an open book.
You are.
I'm open with everything. My sex addiction.
Sex addiction.
My sex addiction. It's an addition to sex addiction. I am also a racist. So there's all kinds of things
it's
I let
a
people
lot.
Know.
Yeah. It's a lot happening.
Yeah.
Let's talk about your early career. I'm talking pre-SoCal days. In Hawaii, you're on an island. You decided you might want to try being in a punk band.
I didn't try. I did. I don't see. That's like the beauty of being in a punk band. You barely have to attempt, and you are.
What was the punk scene like on the Big Island?
I don't know.
I mean, not the Big Island.
On Oahu.
Oahu.
It was pretty great. It was very diverse.
Yep.
You know, there wasn't enough people to just have, like, punk music in there. You also had, you know, variations of it. Like, at one show, you would have, like, a riot girl band, a punk band, a hardcore band, a metal band, and, like, a reggae band. So there was a lot of different types of people all there, just kind of a bunch of the Misfits you know, down. And they also, a lot of Misfit covers.
But, what did you play drums?
I played the drums. I was a drummer. I'm a drummer now, too.
You're still a drummer.
I
you
still
don't
drum.
Lose the
I dram all the time.
Did you like having to lug your own equipment around? What did you drive around Hawaii to have drums fit in it?
My friends' cars. taking the drums up and down, that was always the worst part, especially when you're in a band with a separate singer. When there was a guy that just sang, and then, you know, you're done with the set, and then everyone has to deal with their equipment, and then the singer goes and makes out with the girl you have a crush on. Happens every time.
Aww.
Yeah.
You showed him.
How so? They're married.
Jonah.
Yeah, sorry.
There have been 850 Nerdist podcasts.
How many of those have we been on?
430.
Oh, wow.
Right? Ish? Does someone have that number? Hardwick.
What?
Is anyone keeping count of how many we're on?
Fuck no.
Okay.
No.
What are some of your favorite Nerdist moments from over the years?
I'd say meeting Mel Brooks.
Of course.
That was one of the best ones.
Your favorite part about the Mel Brooks encounter?
I remember I brought the High Anxiety soundtrack for him to sign, and I had it on vinyl, and I brought it over to him, and he kept on throughout the interview checking to see, you know, who was Matt and who was Jonah. He just double-checked all the time. Yep. He's like, Matt, Jonah, okay. And then he gets the record, and he's like, okay, Jonah, all right. To Matt. Ha! And then, we just go like cross. Yeah. He just crosses it out and puts my name, which is even better because it's like I love that I have a signed record by Mel Brooks and also your name is crossed out on it. It's like two of my favorite things.
Mel Brooks was and still is. He's sharp as a fucking tack.
He's very great. I remember I was just so overwhelmed by the fact that I got to meet him at all. Like I remember we got in the car and we were kind of stunned and we kind of talked about it. And then when you got out of the car, I just started to cry.
Oh.
Yeah, I just started bawling. I pulled off to the side of the road and cried because just the idea that, like, because of who he was, I got to meet him later in life. I mean, that's time travel right there.
It's insane. Yeah. It's really, like, we've been so fortunate to meet so many heroes, except for Dave Matthews. Yeah. if you're out there, Dave.
I think he's great in Don't Mess with the Zohan.
Yeah, he's very funny in that movie.
Guy can act. We got to meet like a lot of awesome people. I love that. You know, we got to talk to Paul McCartney. That was incredible. Oh, and it's like without even trying, did a whole Chris Farley show moment.
Yeah,
where he had a soy latte, and I was like, "Do you like almond milk?"
You were like, you knew he was a vegetarian.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly.
And you were like, "Here's my in. I'm gonna tell him about this alternate milk."
Yeah, and then he goes, "I was like, yeah, it's good. Good for you."
And I can't remember. I love him so much.
He's very good. And then I told Jeff Bridges when he was doing the pitch at the Dodger game.
This is true, yeah.
This is true.
This is a true story, guys.
Jeff Bridges was on the Nerdist, and it was the second time he was on, and afterwards he was like, yeah, man, I got to go and throw out the ball at Dodger game. And I go, you know what you should do? You should bowl it. And he goes, yeah, man, like the dude would. And then a couple days later, I can't remember who was on the podcast, but they're like, did you see what Jeff Bridges did? He did the first pitch, and then he bowled it like the dude. And I was like, that was me!
It was really, I wasn't at that one, but I'm sure it was great.
It was fantastic. Better than the rest. What are some of yours?
My favorite moments of the Nerdist podcast.
There's another person here that could also talk about this.
I know. Hardwick, you'll be out here shortly. Well, then why don't we talk about it? Let's talk about it. Let's remember to talk about it when he comes out.
Okay.
And then we'll share our favorite moments. But I want to talk about Hidden America.
Okay.
On CISO. Yeah. Josh watches.
Thanks, Josh.
That's great.
Thank you.
So you're doing season
two. That's half
of
our audience.
You're doing... That's all of ours. We're doing season two.
You know what? These vertically integrated digital multi-platform entertainment shows are the way of the future. There's no denying it.
Who doesn't want to pay a little bit of money for a lot of content?
I mean, people do it for Netflix.
It's
Why not
bargain.
Things they don't care about?
Exactly. So, Jonah, Hidden America,
yes.
First season, you went to Boston, you went to Austin.
There's me with the poster.
That's you in the shirt.
Yeah.
You're just like, I'm wearing the same shirt, let's take this picture.
I got that shirt in 2005 at a Goodwill, and I was wearing that shirt on a billboard, so I kind of a little proud of that.
Got a lot of run. Yeah. I wonder where that guy is.
They got a lot of great people in there. There's Brent Small, Arden
Ralph Marine. Garman's in there.
Ralph Garman is in there.
What can we look forward to in season two? Can you tell us maybe a city you went to?
Yeah. We went to Miami, D.C. We went to Reno.
Whoa.
Reno, baby.
I've never been to Reno. Now, you know I love Las Vegas, Nevada.
Oh, man. And then you're going to love Las Vegas's shitty uncle. Reno is just a dirty ashtray. It's its spirit animal is a deadbeat dad from the 70s. It's just a terrible
place. What will I find in Reno? Let's say I land at the Reno airport and I'm expecting some high-class fun gambling. Where can I expect that?
In the casinos?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a fake travel show, Matt. I have no real information to tell you. It's real, real fake. And it's a lot of fun. People do that. They go, I'll take a picture of me like in front of the Washington Memorial.
Yeah.
And they'll be like, ooh, real hidden. I go, you fuck. It's a fake show. but on this season, On this season, we have Anthony Bourdain, which is real trippy because it's a parody of his show. And then he shows up on the show, and then he beats the shit out of me. Yeah, but we kept the cameras rolling, so it's going to work, I think, in the edit.
That's great.
Yeah.
I do you find it to be more work than you thought it would be, or more fun than you thought it would be?
No, I think it's just work, you know. It's like you're constantly killing yourself to make your days and make sure everything's funny. And if I could relax and not be so inside my head, I'd say it's a lot more fun than it is, and it's a lot less work. But I can't.
You should do a show like this where I literally do nothing.
No. But no, it shows though. So
yeah. let's talk about your other.
Are people scared of you?
No, God no. Are you? The people behind the wall say yes. People I can see are like, no, fuck you. So let's talk about what's on everybody's mouths when they say Jonah Ray, Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Yes, I am the new host of Mystery Science Theater 3000. Thank you. There I am.
Oh my God, there you are in a jumpsuit.
Being microphone, there's me with Joel, man. And Rob Cohen, the director, Baron Vaughn, and Hampton Yount. And Elliot Caitlin, who was head writer on Daily Show with Jon Stewart. It's a great experience, and it was weird to be there. I had to kind of be inside myself.
Like, that's a huge, I mean, long before we ever even met Joel, I knew you were a huge fan of Mystery Science Theater.
Yeah, you know, I had two albums out, two stand-up albums, and they're both named after lines from Mystery Science Theater 3000. One of the first Hollywood meetings I ever had, they're like, what would you do? What would the Jonah Show be? And I said, well, we should bring back Mystery Science Theater 3000. It's me as a host. And they laughed at me because it was 2003, and it hadn't been off the air for that long. But little did they know, nostalgia would be gold, baby.
Oh, yeah. If you got a property, we want it.
Yeah. But it was a lot of fun. And that was a lot more work than I thought it was. Yeah. I had no idea that making the show was also what the concept of the show is what it's like making the show. You are tortured by these terrible movies. Like, you have no idea. So you're like, oh, it's so fun. Me and my friends get together all the time. And we're all throwing jokes at the screen, and then you're like, yeah, but what about like the third time they show like a 15-second shot of someone walking across a room? And you're like, he's dumb. This movie sucks. I don't know. it was really tough.
Did you find yourself having to like pinch yourself every 5 seconds? Because I mean, you're really like, I can't even like liken it to it. It would be like if they said, Matt, we're going to reboot Star Trek and we want you to run it. They did not ask me. Mm-hmm. They are rebooting it. But, like, this is what it's like for you. You're living your childhood dream.
It's a literal dream come true. And it's it only makes me scared for the future. Like, when it's done, oh, what do I do now?
That's a good point.
Suicide's way up on the list.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
And I don't
You're
have any
You're ready first. Jonah's got a direct Suicide Squad 2.
I'd love to do that.
You should.
Yeah.
Can't be worse.
I thought it was a lot of fun.
Why?
Guns and people jumped.
There's too many fucking people they had to, like, introduce you to. They did it too quickly.
You think so?
I talked about this on...
Yeah, but they
something in this studio. I don't know what it was.
What does it matter?
But
what do you need from them?
I think they needed to get a few more DC movies under their belt where they had a few more villains that we had already met.
Well, like they got like Crocodile Man and She-Girl.
Killer Croc. It's not Crocodile Man and She-Girl. Who did you think She-Girl was?
The girl that's a woman. She-Girl. I don't know anything about the DC universe.
Okay.
I was a Marvel kid.
So, listen, Jonah, you can't tell us anything about which movies you're watching in the new season.
But I can't.
What I can ask you is, of the movies that have appeared on Mystery Science Theater in the past, what do you think is the worst movie?
Well, it's Manos, Hands of Fate. The Hands of Fate. Everyone talks about it because it's a good episode, but it is a terrible movie.
Yeah.
And you hear a lot of people trying to get it out on like Blu-ray.
It's got
and
a cult following.
Sure, but because of Mystery Science Theater, that's as good as it's going to get. The movie itself, the movie Glenn or Glenda is terrible.
Right.
The best part about Glenn or Glenda is the movie Ed Wood.
Right.
Because you get to see 2 minutes of it. And that's enough.
Sure.
Yeah.
So you're saying Manos watched on its own. Have you done it?
I tried.
Oh,
I
yeah?
tried. I fell asleep.
Oh.
Yeah. It's not a good movie. It's a poorly made movie.
Well,
that's the thing. That's what, it's like with Mystery Science Theater movies, they have to be kind of okay.
Right.
They have to be like...
You have to have a plot that you can sort of follow.
Yes,
right?
Exactly, because that helps the jokes.
Yeah.
When the characters track, you can keep on adding jokes to that character.
Yeah.
But when it's a poorly made movie, it gets really hard.
Well, you know what's not really hard? Bringing out our guest, Jonah.
Oh, man. This guy. I'll tell you, everybody.
Listen, here's the deal. You got to bring him out because I think Chris is literally dying from not being on television. Now, I know this isn't technically television, but this show might sustain him until he can get back to the heat of network stage lights.
Yeah. I mean, here's some things, not if we haven't said his name about five times yet. you can see this guy hosting At Midnight, a great program.
Sure.
You can see this guy hosting The Wall, which is one of the best new game shows on TV. It's incredible. And also The Talking Dead. Please, you know what? He's also a good guy. He's a good friend. And it's like, I mean, you know him. You love him. Please, everybody, welcome one of our favorite people.
Yeah. No, totally.
Yeah. 100%. It's like someone who's done so much for us. And
I mean, really, I cannot think of a better person to call a friend.
Yeah, exactly. What am I doing? All right, everybody, listen, ladies and gentlemen, Chris is a good guy. And now, Chris Hardwick, get out of here, Chris Hardwick.
Hey! Oh, hello, welcome to the show. Please, have a seat.
I never thought we'd be together and I'd be the worst dressed of the three of us.
It's never happened.
I'm still on the bottom of the list. This Target suit does not really...
You guys look good.
Look at me. I look like I should be hosting InfoWars for hipsters.
This is adorable.
Yeah. Hi, Mom.
That's like culottes for your arms.
Yeah, you know what it was? It was the, I'm trying to think if I have anything clipped to my jacket. I do not, so.
Is this a fancy Brooks Brothers suit that you have?
It's Ralph Lauren.
Ralph Lauren.
But here's the thing with the sleeves.
Did you get that at the factory out in Mall and Bar? So like, well, one of the sleeves is like up to here.
Well, I'll take it.
Yeah.
Man, you look like you're about to start hustling some billiard tables.
Actually, it looks like he's about to shoot up.
Yeah.
Oh, God, guys, I gotta get through this. I don't know.
Today.
You can have it all. You Matt's empire of dirt. You know, I'm doing a Star Trek podcast
Most of this show just you taking your clothes off and putting them back on?
You know, we asked America, what was your favorite part of Matt's show?
Where did you put your jacket on again, bro? Why didn't you take your jacket off?
You know, the best part about Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood? The changing of clothes. I'm going to be honest.
I mean, that was honestly my favorite part of that show. And that one time that the mailman brought over saxophone tape.
Oh, I thought you were going to say anthrax.
Speedy delivery.
On a very special episode of
That is a great joke for 2002. Come on, bro.
Anthrax still rock.
Dave Matthews is a great band for 2002.
No, hey, I'm just thinking, won't you come on our program?
You know what I was thinking about? Mm-hmm. You know what I was thinking of? Is that you were talking about you fulfilling your childhood dream. And I guess one of them would be to run Star Trek, but I would imagine the other for you would be like, if you were at a Dave Matthews concert and Dave was like, hey, Matt, get up here, buddy. And then you just got up there and
there was a guitar for me?
A left-handed guitar?
I wonder, no, you know what it would be? It would be if, I think that's a great dream, and I would love to do that, but... Really, for me, it would be like if Paul McCartney was like, hey, come play Beatles songs. And then I would, because his guitars would work for me. He's left-handed.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't have to be a thing where I brought my own guitar clunkily through the audience.
But would you have it?
I'm just thinking practical.
That's not the part you're worried about.
I want my dreams
get
to be
the guitar
practical.
There,
no,
you
was
go.
Very,
I know
was very close
go.
For that. Like that moment where we were doing the podcast with Paul McCartney. And,
yeah.
and one of the craziest things about that to me is who brings... publicists and people along with them and who doesn't.
Right.
And with McCartney, you'd think, oh, does he have a whole entourage? No, it's just him.
Yeah.
We were just alone in a room, and at the end, he pulls out the tiniest harmonica, and he starts playing, and then all of a sudden, I'm in this moment like, we're doing a song with Paul McCartney. Like, and I can't even get, my brain can't catch up with the moment.
He was one of those people that, like, you meet. I think also, like, Tom Hanks is of the ilk of people where you expect something from this person. Just publicly, you're like, oh, Tom Hanks is probably a pretty great guy. And, like, he exceeds it.
Yes.
And, like, Paul McCartney, you expect him to be, I'm fucking Paul McCartney. I don't need to do this. I'll be kind of nice and whatever. But he was, like, so just amazing.
Well, that was his thing, too, when he talked about when he doesn't take pictures of people, he just gives them a moment.
Yeah.
He wants to talk to them.
Yeah.
Instead of sort of, because for people like that, what I've come to learn is that they don't like feeling like they're a prop. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when Ian McKellen came on, I thought, oh, this is going to be really fun. You know, he and Patrick Stewart run around taking all these crazy pictures. What a great time.
Yeah, lobster suit.
So I got this really dumb, like, bowler hat and this monocle and a mustache, and I was going to take a picture with him. And then, you know, we got into the podcast, and he was like, and I don't like it when people ask to take pictures. I don't like to take. And so I was like, I'm trying to hide them.
Yeah.
Trying to hide them.
But, I mean, the tail end of that story is.
With Patrick Stewart?
Yes.
Where I told Patrick Stewart when he came on, and he was like, oh, yes, Ian would not like that at all. And I put the hat, I go, well, will you take it with me? He goes, sure. And I put the hat on and the mustache, and there we have a recording of Patrick Stewart going, you look like fucking Hitler. Because it was just this dumb little, you know, this like one of those little plastic mustaches and the bowler hat and the monocle.
And it was a Hitler mustache.
It was not at all, Jonah.
It was a Charlie Chaplin mustache.
It was neither. But I just think, you know, what I learned from the Harrison Ford podcast that we did at Comic-Con, which was, you know, like, that was...
It was uncomfortable.
It was, because I couldn't...
I couldn't crack it.
I couldn't crack it, and then I got nervous, and I got in my own way. And as soon as he smelled blood in the water, it was, like, and understandably so. Like, he's one of the biggest stars in the world, so if you're taking up his time, you should be able to handle it.
I doubled down on a question where he scoffed at a question I had, where I said, oh, you know, I brought up actor like Ed Norton, like where he says he doesn't really have control over his movies. I said, well, you know, an actor like Ed Norton, where he's, you know, he's kind of a producer, he sits in the edit bay, like, was that anything you would ever want to do? He's like, I'm not fucking Ed Norton. He says, like, he's like, I don't know him. I don't know what he does. I was like, no. Like, and I had to, I was like,
listen to me.
I was like, no, would you ever be in a position, like, I, like, right. And I had to, like, but, double ask him.
But it helped in that situation. It helped to go through that to realize, oh, okay, I'm just never going to be afraid of someone again that I'm sitting. I'm just going to talk to them like they're people.
Yeah.
And that.
Oh wow, you are good.
Oh. But that's what happened.
You're not afraid of shit.
No.
Yeah, because that was pretty scary.
I had the shit in my pants when I got out here. I came with it from home. But I was just thinking about the logistics of that. Like, boy, what a great joke this is going to be. I'm going to shit my pants at home.
And then the reality sets
over with
in.
It. Like, oh, no, I got to commit now. I'm halfway there. But it was just the idea that, you know, he's a guy. And how many people talk to him like a guy? Most people probably are, you know.
Other pilots.
I don't mean
they're probably like, hey, you know, I would have taken that plane down in the 18th hole.
See, what a missed opportunity for him to have jumped out of the plane and gone, did you see a Titleist? Great. Didn't happen. But he was really gracious at the Force Awakens panel at Comic-Con. It was a totally different experience than like the couple of years before. And I wonder if that had something to do with it, where it just, he was like, oh, life is precious and I should appreciate it.
Yeah, it was either that or he was like, in his head, he's like, well, they fucking killed me, so I don't have to come here again.
I don't know. I bet he goes back. His personality seemed a lot different. But when I think about the experiences that we've had together and some of the people that we've met and where we were almost kind of like, I wonder if this person would agree to meet us. Oh, my God. Man.
Yeah.
You know, it really is.
I'll never forget. I had a day with the podcast where we were at the old Burbank spot, and we were podcasting with Buzz Aldrin. And I pulled up to my parking spot, and it was Matt Meyer right next to the parking spot was Buzz Aldrin.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, well, this is amazing.
What's
and then
happening?
I had to shoot a thing for Course for the Force afterwards, and it was with, like, Jonesy, Steve Jones. Mm-hmm. And Danica McKellar and CM Punk, and I had to leave Buzz Aldrin early, like by 10 minutes, to go hang out with fucking Jonesy, Winnie Cooper, and CM Punk. And it was just like, what fucking planet am I on right now?
It is now? It is pretty mind-bending.
Or Celestial still, Body, the moon maybe?
It still freaks me out. It still freaks me out.
It doesn't matter, John.
I know you made a joke, but it still does freak me out, though. Like,
no,
just
crazy.
Thinking about all this stuff. I actually tried to...
I know you made a joke.
I know you made a joke there, Matt, but we're getting serious here for a second. But I actually tried to get... I tried to book Dave Matthews for a podcast for your birthday one year, but I just... wasn't able to make it happen.
I don't give up hope. I think he might one day decide... Yeah.
Oh, come on. Fuck it.
He doesn't talk like that at all.
No, he doesn't. But he does have this, like, I was listening to these, they have these inner CDs? Ear mic recordings on CD.
Yeah.
I was listening to this, what do you call it? It's a picture disc.
Or a casingle?
Yeah.
It's a casingle.
Yeah. I was listening to these inner ear mic recordings because someone would, they'd get the radio frequency and Dave Matthews Band allows you to tape the shows like the Grateful Dead and like Fish, and these guys would get these receivers for the inner ear mics and tune to the frequency of the band, and then you could hear these recordings. The band has since banned these, but you would hear him on mic going like, "How y'all doing tonight?" And then you hear him a second later go, "God damn, that was really fun." Like, it's just like, what is that voice? Why
oh, it's
are
a
you
totally
doing that?
Different.
Just a totally different speaking voice.
Yeah.
Anyway.
There are people that have completely different, like, they have a persona.
Yeah.
That, I was at a party once and Vin Diesel was there. A really nice guy. He's been to Nerdist, played the Critical Role folks over Geek and Sundry. And he, I think he was a little tipsy, and when they introduced him to I was expecting like, "Hey, how you doing? Nice to meet you." And it just came out more like this. "Hi, nice to meet you." I saw his face, like, "Oh, that's you. That's the real you. Yeah. I just saw it.
Hi, I'm Groot.
I just saw your balls, basically." But it was really good. It was couldn't have been nicer. I guess, you know, everyone. And then you sort of realize, yeah, he still plays D&D. He is essentially one of us who just decided, like, "I'm going to be this guy." Like, he made himself a D&D character.
He also started losing his hair, and then he went with it, and then he decided to work out.
Yeah, it looks,
so did Billy Zane.
But
he finally went with it.
Billy Zane went with it.
I'm glad someone found him at
the barber shop on Saturday, and they were cutting my hair, but Titanic was playing, and the barbers just kept stopping when Billy Zane was on and pointing out the glue line on his toupee.
Oh, Jesus. I love that. It's so fitting that Matt, like, I would guess that you would have, that you would go to a barber shop.
I do go to a barber shop.
With the spinny pole?
Spinny pole, they will give me whiskey if I want it. It's like this very small shop from my favorite barber that used to work at a big barber shop, opened up his own place very close to my house, and it's like the best.
Aww.
And his favorite show is the Goldbergs.
Is it?
Oh,
yeah.
Perfect.
Like, weirdly, he's like, I'm like talking to him about work one day, and I was like, "Oh, yeah, we're doing this Karate Kid episode with the other Adam Goldberg." It becomes a... And then he just looks at me and goes, Don't spoil it. I'm like, "What?" It's like, "It's my wife's favorite. I love it. I just want to be surprised." I was like,
"Did you have him come to a taping yet?"
Oh, I should invite him to set.
Why did you not?
Yeah.
He just tells you it was his favorite show, and it didn't occur to you, like,
you
I have the ability to make that happen?
He just took the compliment and walked away. I bet he gave you a discount. I bet you tipped like shit that day, too.
I tip plenty to him and no discount. So I would.
Did you tip him more after he complimented you?
I will. No.
Because now he knows you write for TV, so.
Yeah.
Now you look like a dick.
You should take your barber.
Is it just put my barber in the car with me?
Take your barber
to
the rider's
room. Chris has a funny vision in his head.
No, my funny vision is just shades of the early days of the podcast of you being mean to Matt, and then everyone thinking that Jonah was the mean one, and then being really shitty to him in public.
Really,
and just being like, "Hey, fuck you, you're a dick." And be like, "What did I do?"
Yeah.
Like, "You're mean to Matt." You're like, we're just friends. What are you talking
it's
about?
It's terrible. I'm still, every time I'm out in public with you guys,
that's
I'm
our
so
secret,
scared.
That's our secret power. I'm the dick.
Oh, these guys know.
The worst, is though, like, it's like, you know, me and someone, they go, "Wow, you're nice." And I go, "What?" And they're like, you were always my least favorite Nerdist guy.
It makes me
I go, why would you? It's like, well, I like Chris the most. Then I go, why are you quantifying me and my friends?
it's almost like, isn't this how everyone is with their friends? They like, they give their friends shit. They fuck around.
That's what I think makes a friend. Like, a friend is someone you can say is a piece of shit and you still go and hang out afterwards. So you can get that stuff out. Because if you did it to strangers or family, it's a whole nother thing.
It's the internet.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I think the people is. We're literally in their heads and they think that they're having the conversation with us, so they think that they can just say whatever the fuck they want to say to us when they can't. Fuck you guys.
I love that you have mugs. These are really nice mugs.
Matt.
Yeah.
These are nice mugs.
They're so good.
Thank you, Jonah.
These are great.
These are the highlight of my sidekick career.
I'm sorry that we didn't do the pre-interview either, did you?
No.
There's a pre-interview. I saw my calendar that popped up. It said a pre-interview for Sidekick. And I was like, these are two of my best friends. What are you going to pre-interview me about?
I told the guys. I was like, I don't know if they're going to do the pre-interview. It just seems like a lot of unnecessary groundwork.
I think it works. Chris, you were just on Conan talking about your wife's exorcist movie prop. What prop culture, treasure, or historical artifact would you like to recover?
Hang on. Let's talk to him. I want to talk to him about his animation cell collecting.
Ew.
Because you and I share a need to collect. And to, like, have things.
And I've given you a lot of shit over the years for your guitar collection, and I have far exceeded the obsession, you know. So I apologize. Yeah, I mean, I find myself
Who's sadder in this situation?
Matt. I feel like...
I don't know, because you could just... You buy these things.
No.
And then you put them on a wall. Matt can actually get up and play it.
But here's the thing.
I can play myself.
I rent.
You what?
I rent my house. He owns it.
Oh,
so I'm obviously.
I thought you meant you rent out your guitars. Would you ever rent out your guitars?
I've texted people. There's a Ren and Stimpy.
We were talking about sales. Yeah, there's a Simpsons from Treehouse of Horror.
You have that? That's
yours.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I know. I have a bunch of really good Simpsons. I bought at an auction some Tracy Ullman Simpsons.
Oh,
I have a couple, and you'd recognize the episode too. Yeah, I don't know. I just, you know, animation was for me when I was growing up. My life was, you know, basically ruled by comedy, any comedy, anything, during the comedy boom of the 70s and the 80s. All stand-up specials, every comedy, everything. And then D&D, computers, video games, and then cartoons, animation. And I tried to get into animation when I was in college. I basically went down to Spumco, where Ren and Stimpy was being made, and... And I said, oh, I want to work here. And so they let me submit art. And then I realized I was not very good.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought I was good. And then I saw what real...
Could you, like, do multiple poses of the same character? Like,
I mean, just not great. You know, like, when I saw what really great art was, really great cartoon art, you know, with John Kay and Vince Waller and all these guys, who Pete Avanzino, like, there was just who went on to do a bunch of Futuramas. And... then I realized, like, oh, okay, yeah, okay, I'm not. And so they really did me a favor by telling me I wasn't good enough, because then, you know, that was, okay, I'm gonna pursue stand-up.
Well, those guys went to school, though, right?
Of course they went to school, and they understood...
They were philosophy majors.
they understood basic character construction and,
but
you know...
Do you still doodle? It seems like you're so into it. I've never seen you draw anything.
I have. He has an iPad Pro, the 12-inch one with the pen on it, and I've seen him draw on that, and it's fucking crazy.
I mean, my whole Snapchat account was just drawing pictures of dicks on my wife's cat.
We'll be right back.
I can show you. I wish I had sent this to you guys earlier. I could have loaded it in earlier.
Well, lucky for us, we can do it in post.
Oh, that's right. Here we go. So here's this first one. I thought, oh, this is really fun. You know, why so serious right there?
You can see that now, guys.
You're seeing this now. Can you guys see this? Then and then I start getting a little more bold. I'm like, hey, there he is.
Oh, wow, full legs.
Yeah, and then there he is. Oh, he's being eaten by a dinosaur. No, he's got stupid eyes. Okay, now here's where he is getting orally pleasured by another cat. right there, and he's...
Chris, I think you should stop swiping.
What? And then here he is pooping while fist pumping. I run in the fist pump.
Yeah.
And then here he is doing the weather. So he likes to stretch out on the floor there, so I had him doing the weather there. Yeah. And then, 69 Lives. This was a fun series where he and a cat of... Yeah.
Another cat.
And then I got the iPad, the pencil. And then the drawings got started to get really cartoony.
What is that, Zoidberg?
It's Zoidberg. That's Zoidberg eating out the cat, and it says, "Why not Zoidberg?" there he is being pleasured by Ren and Stimpy there. You can see that. There he is.
Blue's Clues.
He's murdering Blue's Clues in his mind. That's what he's seeing. There he is getting stomped on Mario because he was all squished down there. This is for Thanksgiving one year.
Oh, yeah. He's a full turkey.
Yeah.
And that's a human with a dick out.
Here he is lying on the floor with his penis out.
I love how proud you are of these.
Yeah. Yeah, really? I really shouldn't be.
Do you think that's your greatest accomplishment?
This drawing dicks
Snapchat?
On the cat? It's so much fun to me because the cat's a very sweet cat. A has no idea it's being photographed and his brain cannot conceptualize what I am doing on Snapchat, and that's so funny to me.
He feels no shame.
He feels no, and the cat has an amazing life.
The collecting though of the cells, yeah. Like what is it for you that draws you to a thing?
It's only things that were very that were meaningful. Like I don't just buy any old cell. Like it's very specific episodes. Like I'm about to buy some layout drawings from Bugs Bunny and the Three Bears, which was a Chuck Jones. It's one of my favorite. The Three Bears characters are so wildly inappropriate for children. Not that any of those were originally made for children, but it's it's ones that are really, really, really special to me. And some of them are really strangely specific. Like there was an Alf cartoon in the 80s that I really liked. So I'm buying some.
Those have got to be what? $40?
Not even.
Yeah.
Like they're so, depending on the show or the movie, like the Disney cells can get pretty expensive, especially if it has the backgrounds with them. But I have cells from the Space Ace game and from Dragon's Lair.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
We have some Roger Rabbits. I have Pinocchio.
I had some Ghostbusters, real Ghostbusters.
I've got some of those too. Yeah.
With the backgrounds, and I left them in my office, and now I believe they're in Bowser's office.
Oh, you can buy it. Those are actually real Ghostbusters I bought. They're probably like $40 maybe.
I got them. Do you go through the thing at Comic-Con and like flip through all the animation cells they have?
No.
Have you thought about wearing a Spider-Man mask, going onto the floor, and then flipping through the animation cells?
No, but that's a great. But then they all stick to my hands. I actually buy from there's a few dealers that I get them from that I trust, and then. I'll see some on eBay or auctions. There's some auctions every once in a while.
For me, with the guitar collecting, it's always something that I see that I think I will not see again.
Right.
And I always end up buying it.
Well, you have a particular, thing in that you're left-handed.
Yeah.
And there are not a lot of left-handed guitars.
It's a niche of
a
niche.
So it's sort of like the same thing for me. My body size, I'm a medium, which is like I'm in between a small and a medium. So whenever I find a jacket that fits perfectly, like right off the rack, I buy it.
Yeah.
So I imagine it's the same for you. It's like, oh my God, that guitar in a left-handed version.
I'll never see it again.
I have to own that.
If my wife would understand that, we'd be okay.
Is there stuff you want to talk about?
Do you collect anything, Jonah?
No, I
sold all your records.
I was collecting records for a
good
bit,
cause,
and then I sold them all to give the proceeds to Planned Parenthood.
Oh, that's great!
I wanted to start getting rid of stuff. I don't want to have stuff anymore.
Yeah,
it's like it takes up space, and does me no good anymore. Yeah. I think it was nice to have that stuff. For a bit, and now I'm okay without
it. It's really all
it.
About the hunting and the gathering, though. It's really all about the collecting and the finding that I think is where the joy comes from.
Yeah.
It's like that moment where you oh my God, I can't believe I found this, and you get that feeling. And then it's nice to have, and then when you see it, go, oh, that's mine now, that's really great.
Yeah.
But it really is about, like, to be a collector is really about the collecting.
Yeah, like, I have a guitar that I got that Brian Ray, who's Paul McCartney's lead guitarist, he came out with this signature issue Gibson SG, and I tweeted at him. I was like, God, if they made one of those in lefty, I would love it. And he DM'd me and was like, he's like, are you serious? I can talk to the guys and see if they can make one. I say, yeah, of course. And he's like, I can probably get you artist pricing. And I was like, great, because Gibsons are insanely overpriced. So I don't hear from him for 2 months. And then he DMs me and he goes, I got him to make two lefties, one for you and one for Paul.
Oh, my God.
Just send me $75,000.
No, it was very, it was cheaper than any fucking Custom Shop SG you've ever seen in your life. And I have it, and it's amazing. And there's only two lefties, one I have and one Paul McCartney has.
That's pretty great.
I have another guitar. I have this Dave Matthews Martin that I looked for years of my life. 10, 15 years.
I remember this. Yeah.
And they only made one lefty, and then I found it. And I bought it, and, you know, I had to pay a lot of money for it. And then...
Does Dory collect anything?
It's very funny you say that. We were in Target last evening, a couple nights ago. It doesn't matter. Why am I getting specific about when we were in Target? We were looking at bowls. They had these little bowls. She loves wooden bowls and pitchers. And she's like, oh, what do you think of these bowls? I was like, your bowls are like me and guitars. And she goes, yeah. But a bowl costs $20.
I still don't think that makes up for collecting bowls.
She likes bowls, like wooden bowls, nice handmade bowls, like, you know.
Are you expecting a lot of leaks in your house? Because that's when that comes
in. If it happens,
not
we're fucking
ones.
Ready to go.
Well, you got to have it somewhere.
If you'd come over for dinner, I could serve you many things in bowls.
Ooh, many things.
Lydia collects horror movie props.
So, like, what do you mean by that?
I mean, like, you know, I came home one day and there was a Reagan doll, like the dummy from The Exorcist, but it wasn't. Yeah, there it is. And so that was in my foyer, and I don't. I mean, I love horror. We watch every horror, everything, and even that. When I came home, I was like, "Fuck!" I mean, every day
well,
I came home.
It's a full-size human.
Full-size human.
Yeah.
And every day that I came home for the first week, I knew it was going to be there. And every time it came in, it sort of, you know, sort of freaked me out.
Does
a little
it
bit.
At all like at night if you have to like go downstairs for something? Do you ever like just
no?
Corner
you ever
your
see
eye?
It going down the stairs?
Spider-walk. Yeah.
But now it's like a part of the family. But she does. I mean, she bought a couple of Gremlins.
Now,
she bought.
I was over your house around Christmas time, and I don't remember. But did you put a Santa hat on her? You should have.
We put yeah we did. We had like a Christmassy Club 33 hat that we put on her, so she had the Mickey ears on there.
It's nice that you can change her with the seasons.
You know, and one of the great things about Lydia is that people go, oh, I guess, did you have to get a separate space to put all your nerd shit? Your wife probably. And I was like, no, like she had a lot of the same stuff. Now we just have double all of it, and apparently that's a really big thing. Is that if you marry someone who likes all the stuff that you like, that's a cute. People are like, oh, I can't fucking believe that. My wife hates all my stuff that I. And I go, no, we love all the same stuff.
Yeah.
What's that like?
It's great.
It's great.
It's great.
It really is. Yeah. It's like, you know, they get the stuff and you buy it and they buy it. And then when you buy it, they're happy and supportive.
Well,
when
here's the
home.
Deal.
What?
My wife is left-handed.
Oh.
She does not know how to play guitar yet.
You're gonna get her hooked on guitars.
I think I should just get her some lessons for her birthday.
Maybe you should.
Jonah just made the face of like that's the saddest thing I've ever.
No,
heard.
And that's great. Does she want to though? That's
how to play guitar. Yeah. No, she would like a piano.
She would if you. Maybe you should make a guitar out of a bowl. She'd probably.
I like where your head's at.
Yeah, get Jack White on the phone.
Guys, this is great. Time for our next segment.
What is that? And there's another one?
Yeah, there is. This is there's actually two more segments to
go. Can we just keep on rambling?
Shut up. My show. So we've been working together for a long time, and correct me if I'm wrong, but we all know each other pretty well, as we just established.
Sure do, Mark.
Or do we? I mean, how well do you guys know me, really? Well, we're all going to find out, because I'm going to ask you guys some questions all about me, and the one who answers the most correctly is my biggest fan. Get ready. For matter of fact. Yay! Guys, I believe you'll find that Jonah has whiteboards. He's got a hand to each of us.
I brought this from home. I'm glad I did.
You live
Thank
at a desk?
You.
Yeah.
So, guys, we're going to ask the questions. I'm going to write down my answers, and then we're going to reveal our answers and see who... is correct.
The did we first, do this on the Nerdist TV
we
show?
We did it as a couple. You and I were a couple.
Yeah.
It was a newlywed game. Chris was the host, and we played against real-life married couple. Jonah and Kumail. I mean, Jonah and Kumail.
Kumail, we split.
Kumail and Emily, and we beat them.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
So you're answering, too, that means there's some stuff you might not know about yourself?
No, I'm answering. I know these answers. You have to match my answer. Okay, guys? So the first question is, what is my favorite workout song? And I'm writing right now. This is a real answer, and I have it in my playlist, and I'm writing it down. And if you think hard, you might be able...
Favorite workout song.
Favorite song. My song that, like, if I turn it on, I am just flying through that treadmill workout. Oh, guys, I think this is good. We should have laid in some music of, like, thinking music or something like that. But not this dumb. Okay, guys. Let's see. How do we do this? Do I reveal first or they reveal? No producers care. Who? What? They. Jonah, reveal your answer. What do you think my favorite workout song is?
Matt, I think when you're working out, you want to fuck yourself like an animal. So I said Closer by Nine Inch Nails.
Excellent answer, but incorrect.
Shit.
Christopher. Oh, no.
I think I might be close on this one. I said...
Closer.
Okay. What is it? Crash by Dave Matthews?
It is Skyfall by
Adele.
That's
a workout song?
Fuck yeah.
How do you work out to
she
that?
She ramps up like a motherfucker.
Oh,
she crescendos.
God.
And I'll tell you, that shit is real. May I have my... Never mind. I'll just use this. Guys.
Here.
Oh, thank you. I don't have to use silk. The next question.
Oh.
Who is my favorite Cheers character? Favorite character on Cheers.
Oh, this is going to be a fucking trick question.
I don't think it is.
But
it's not a trick.
I know, but there's a really obvious one.
Uh-huh.
Is it the really obvious one?
It might be. It's fucking Cheers, guys. It's not my fault he was on it. All right, gentlemen. Jonah has stopped writing. Chris is placing the final touches. Okay. Jonah, what was your answer?
Coach.
Oh, that's a great answer.
Love Coach.
Coach is my second favorite character.
Oh, what's your first favorite, Matt?
I said Frasier, but maybe Cliff Clavin.
The answer is Frasier.
Yeah.
Frasier Crane.
Yeah.
Frasier Crane.
Man,
Chris gets the point.
I mean, I
Chris
thought Frasier was
point.
The obvious one, but then I thought, oh, maybe in like a weird.
Do
twist,
you know what's funny
Cliff.
Is when I first thought about this answer when we were talking about it before the show, I in my head I was like, oh, Coach, and then I was like, well, what the fuck am I talking about? Frasier's on the show.
Well, actually, Jonah the my resume.
All right,
Ratzenberger's present.
Guys, the next question.
like 0% of the audience got that.
Yeah. The pig voice from Toy Story.
Guys, the next question is, what was my first AOL screen name? My first AOL screen name. Guys, what was my first America Online screen name? I've said it on the podcast. I've mentioned it on the Nerdist BBC America show.
I don't have cable.
And well, that's okay. You can watch it on Hulu. Now, my fake screen name, as I've always said, was Tittyfucker96, which I used in the Metallica chat room.
Yeah.
But my real first screen name. Okay. Jonah, you finished writing? What is your answer?
I can't imagine you being too clever as a young kid, so it was M. Myra 2789482 at AOL.com. No?
None of the words are even in there. Chris.
Well, Matt, I'm actually pretty sure it was Wharf on Golf at AOL.com.
Dude, I just fucking... the episode of the Goldbergs that I just wrote has a giant Dorf on Golf reference.
Oh, really?
That's fucking weird. But my real AOL first AOL screen name was Matthew D2.
Hey. Nice.
Okay, guys. The number four is, what is my least favorite beverage? What is my least favorite beverage? It's a beverage that I see ordered a lot, and I hate it. and it makes me want to vom. Soup hard. Don't understand why people would put these two things together in a beverage. It's non-alcoholic, if that helps. I don't like it. Don't want to see it on the planet. If Donald Trump would ban it, I would forgive everything else he's done. Oh, come on, Chris. I think you can get it. Jonah, do you feel like you have a good answer?
No.
Okay. All right, we've stopped writing. Jonah, what is your answer?
Your least favorite drink is not coffee.
Okay, yes.
I've seen this guy talking about how thirsty he was. He's like, oh, it's so hot, I'm so thirsty. Iced coffee, please?
I love iced coffee. I function on many Americanos a day.
Yeah.
Chris, do you have an answer?
This was tough. And then in the last part you said it was, why would anyone, you know, you're tired of seeing people put these two things together. Is it cum sherbet?
I would rather drink cum sherbet than Clamato juice.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing wrong with Clamato.
Why?
Yeah.
It's terrible. It's clam juice and tomato.
And then there's like Chelada, which is like, which is Clamato and like Budweiser beer.
Go
even better.
Fuck itself. All right, guys. Number five. What is my middle name?
Really? You don't know?
Jonah wrote a fake answer.
Great, man. Thanks a lot. I don't know, and I don't care. It's John, probably.
I know your fucking middle name.
Yeah, because it's everyone knows my middle name. What they don't know is my last name.
Is it Robert?
No. Robert?
It's John.
Is it Bob?
No.
Is it Mitt? Is
Matt it Walsh and I have the same middle name.
Matt Walsh Myra.
Walsh Myra. Paul. I had no idea.
Yeah.
And no idea.
Named after Paul McCartney.
You learn something new every day about
people
someone.
People are clapping because they're so relieved this bit is done.
No, we're at the halfway point.
Hey! Bonus question.
What?
Closest without going over, how many Dave Matthews concerts have I been to? If you can answer this, you are the winner. I'm writing more numbers than you thought. Closest without going over. Price is Right rules. Jonah's really thinking about it.
You've mentioned it a couple times.
I have mentioned it a couple times. All right, guys. Answers? Ready? Jonah, go.
37.
Ooh, you're too low. Too low.
Maybe not, though.
Maybe not.
Let's see. Is it 124?
Very over.
Oh.
Jonah was so fucking close. 42.
Oh, the answer's always 42.
42.
The answer's always 42.
Oh, man.
Oh, my wife's a 42 in here. Does that count?
Can you believe it?
I guess we really don't know Matt very well at all.
I guess not.
After all this time.
I always had a feeling.
You and I have a special connection,
really
is special.
I think we've known each other longer.
Paul, I had no idea.
You know what? When I found out, I liked them less.
Yeah,
I'm so sorry. I know
it doesn't make you mad.
I don't know. Should I feel bad? I feel bad that I don't feel anything.
I feel bad too. I don't feel it at all. Oh, I'm sorry, Paul.
Paul.
Guys,
what?
That was great. Even though one of you lost, both of you won, and the prize is you get to answer more questions.
You knew we were going to lose. It said so in the prompter. You knew we were both going to fucking lose.
I didn't lose. I won.
You didn't win. Jonah won.
How could he win?
Because he got the final one.
The Frasier question.
But that was worth 14 points.
So you play a whole game and none of the points in the middle of the game mean anything until the end? What a stupid
idea.
Also,
here's the thing. Not coffee. It got nothing here, but it was a great answer. You guys don't know Matt if you didn't find that hilarious.
Yes, for anyone inside your head, that was a hilarious joke.
Yeah, and Matt's always inside my head.
Guys, it is time to answer some questions and to celebrate the 850 episodes of the Nerdist podcast. You guys should answer exactly that many questions, so get ready for 850 questions. JK, lol, We're not doing 150 guys. As much fun as that would be, I'd have too many sidekick cards. We're going to ask 8.5 questions.
Good save.
Everyone loves it. So you can hear the age difference in the crew.
Yeah.
Where someone goes, what? Yeah. And then Brian Compton's laughing heartily back there because he's seen Wayne's World. All right, guys. Oh, God. This one, you guys don't.
What?
Because you're.
You don't need the whiteboards. We're going to go rapid fire. Just answer. First thing comes to your head. First question, we're going to go to Jonah first on this. What video game did you play most as a kid?
Toe Jam and Earl.
Really?
Panic on Funkatron.
Good answer. It's a good answer.
I didn't like the game. We didn't have a lot of games.
Don't get sad. Chris?
Super Mario 3.
Super Mario 3 is a great answer. The correct answer is Tetris. Sorry. Number two, we're going to start with Chris. What was the last show you specifically recorded on your DVR?
The last show I specifically recorded on my DVR, it was the Wall.
Me too.
Hey, me three.
You said you hadn't watched it yet.
No, but I DVR'd them all. I can't wait for the one where Trump breaks in the middle.
That doesn't happen.
Also, doesn't make sense. Why would he break the wall? It's the thing he wants the most.
But on Tuesday night, he did. He interrupted it with his nominee for the Supreme Court.
Oh,
I
really?
Follow the news.
Oh,
anyway.
Who did he give the roast to?
10th Circuit judge from Colorado. Much more
really,
conservative than Scalia. And I cannot pull his name.
Gorsuch.
Fuck you guys. Okay, number three. This is going to be for Jonah first. Prior to the election, when was the last time you were scared?
Genuinely scared? Probably when I got on to the set of The Satellite of Love. Genuinely scared.
Yeah.
Got up there, and we were getting ready to go, and then I said, I have to go to the bathroom.
Oh, no, you gotta unzip your whole jumpsuit.
Unzip the whole jumpsuit, and the mic came off, and then
the mic was still on, they heard you going,
I'm a piece of shit, what? I don't deserve this, oh, God,
they don't know how afraid I am,
this is the worst.
That same question applies to you, Christopher Hardwick.
When was the last time I was really scared?
Yeah.
It was probably...
Just now! I got him this time.
But the answer's before the election.
I don't know. Probably... it was probably a height situation.
Oh, yeah, you don't like heights.
I don't love heights. It was probably a height situation.
I thought it was a dig at me.
It was... Yeah. Yeah, these heights are taking over.
He was afraid of the band on the Aaron Spelling show, The Heights.
Yeah, I did. Oh, my
How
God.
Do you talk to an angel?
Oh, why would you put that song back in my head?
How do you... Something.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay, number four, starting with you, Chris. Were you ever embarrassed buying a CD in a music store, and what was it?
What CD was I embarrassed by? I don't know. It was probably, I don't know. That's a really good question. I can't remember. It's been so long since I've been into a store to buy a CD. Let me think about this for
okay,
a second.
Think about it, Jonah. Do you have an answer?
If you're so embarrassed, why would you buy it? I don't understand the concept of that.
You know, guilty pleasure.
Guilty pleasure.
He doesn't get guilty pleasures, I know.
I don't. I just say, it's like, when I worked at Amoeba, you get that all the time. People go like, oh, you're probably going to hate this stuff. I'm like, you're buying Madonna and the Beatles. Everyone loves that.
Yeah.
Like, what's so embarrassing? They're like, who would buy Metallica and Nirvana? Lots of people. Lots of people do. They both got loud guitars. It's pretty fucking easy.
I once went in, I was 16 years old, and I walked in and I said to the clerk, after I'd looked for a long time, I said, if I were Neil Diamond, where would I find my music?
It might have been like a Neil Diamond, Barbara Streisand situation.
Oh, come on. They're great American songstresses.
Yeah, but I mean, when you're a teenager in the 80s, exactly. You know, like, that's not the coolest thing in the world to... I mean, now I don't have a problem with it.
Worse in the 90s, when I was a teenager in the 90s. And I had
When I was a kid, I was embarrassed by it. I wanted it real bad, and I was embarrassed by it. I wanted the CD that the show The Dinosaurs put out.
Oh, yeah, I had it.
Yeah.
I'm the baby, gotta love me. Big purple eyes, I'm very cuddly. Don't you wish that... Okay, number five.
It's alive.
Jonah, we're going to start with you. You're in an airport. What do you eat?
Shitty food.
You just go for it.
Yeah, I eat terrible things when
I'm
in an airport.
So you're like, it's Chili's 2, bro.
I go to Chili's 2. I go to Gladstone's.
Sure, Gladstone's is good.
Yeah. I you know what I do? I eat like that how why is it like when you go to a Starbucks at the airport?
Side cook.
When you go to an airport at the Starbucks there, all the food is shittier and different. Why does the
why is it different?
Why does the yogurt have to be shitty at
the
airport?
Because they have to take the metal out of it to get it through the detector?
Yeah, that's no, because I believe there is a completely separate company that handles airport food, mm-hmm. and they get the Starbucks franchise, but it's not, I don't think those are actually run by Starbucks, because for the longest time you couldn't use your Starbucks card there, and I think it has to do with the fact that whatever,
when you go to Barnes and Noble and try to use your Starbucks card.
Yeah, whatever organization, like whatever the company's name is that so like runs the airport food and concessions, I think they run it.
Okay,
that's right.
So Joe's gonna fuck with the Chili's too. Chris, you're in an airport. What do you eat?
Well, which airport, Matt? I've
Denver.
Been in a lot of them. The Denver airport. I mean, I usually go straight for the Starbucks.
Yeah.
But if there's not one in there, I always go for. You know, like a turkey sandwich is pretty safe.
Yeah.
So I just go for whatever, like, the most generic turkey sandwich is, because that's going to be the safest thing.
So if you're at LAX, you go for, like, the La Brea Bakery turkey sandwich?
Well, yeah, I mean, now LAX is actually starting to get good food. For the longest time, it was the worst airport.
Show. Yeah.
But, yeah, that little farmer's market in there.
The,
but yeah, I will.
Okay, guys, here's number six. Not too many left. Jonah, not starting with you. Chris.
Yeah.
What is your largest... texting pet peeve?
Oh my god. It's sort of two parts, but they're related. Like when you call someone and they just text you back, drives me crazy.
Sure.
Because it basically just means like, oh, I don't want to talk to you.
Yeah.
I'll
communicate via text.
And it's people who don't understand, like a text where it's just a fucking stream of consciousness novel, you know, where there's no economy to it whatsoever. It's just like, and then I saw a cat, and then the cat was like, well, you shouldn't be in here. And I'm like, I know I shouldn't be in here. Anyway, my mom said that, like, there's no fucking punctuation, and it's just, like, a really long, and you just scroll, and you know what it is? It's when your entire text field on your phone is one bubble.
Oh, it's crazy.
That is a fucking, it drives me nuts. Like, just fucking call me.
The other thing
it takes so much more energy to do this.
My wife will sometimes, when she's texting me, she'll be texting on her computer. So she'll just, like, hit enter, and then my phone gets like 9 text messages from her, which is just 2 sentences.
Right.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Jonah, what is your texting pet peeve?
I guess I don't think about it much. I guess there's other things to worry about besides things that irritate me in text.
Ooh, deny.
Ooh, I thought you were going to say not hearing from my friends, Jonah.
Oh no. I hate K.
Yeah.
It's dismissive. Give me an O in front of that K or fuck off.
Yeah. How do you feel about
the tickets to the movie? K.
How do you feel about I do this sometimes to both of you. I will often just send back the thumbs up emoji.
I don't mind the thumbs up emoji.
Right, okay.
I'm actually kind of a fan of emoji.
Yeah.
Because it conveys a little bit of an emotion.
Yeah.
In my car, it does the Bluetooth thing. It reads my text to me. So if someone does something like that, it'll be like, okay, I'll see you then. Medium skin tone thumbs up emoji.
Eggplant.
That's amazing. Okay, number 7. What is an idea for a show, movie, or app that you had first?
Oh, shit.
The Oh Shit app. Remember that one?
I know there are shows that I've seen where I'm like, I fucking
Can you think of one offhand?
I can't. I can't think of one offhand.
Okay, Jonah?
Orange is the New Black. But it was mostly fucking.
Jesus Christ.
Sexier show.
Oh, yeah. God.
At least saw it on Cinemax.
I honestly can't. I know. Fuck. Yeah, I can't think of anything.
Okay.
I can't think of one.
What?
Oh, Maps. I don't know.
What if instead of having to refold it, we could put it in our phone?
Yeah.
Okay, this is number 8. What is your best grooming tip?
I don't have any.
That's true.
Clearly.
Really more for Chris.
I find that as dudes get older, I have friends who get up into their 40s, you know, and...
Gross.
And I want to say to them, like, I know I'm 29. I don't have a know. And I kind of want to say, like, do you not see all the hair growing out of your nose and ears? Like, I see. So, and I almost kind of wonder, like, do I have that? And is it invisible to me? So I think maintaining nose and ears.
Yeah.
Because, you know, as guys get older, your hairline up here tends to recede, and your nose and ears are like, I'll take it from here.
Yeah.
And then it gets crazy. So I think making sure that this is kind of groomed, and then the ears, like around the rim of the ear, and then inside too, getting in there. So that is those are important grooming
tips.
Well,
mine stay nice and groomed thanks to Emily Hache. Emily.
She's the best.
Okay, number 8.5. This is just really a setup to a fun joke, guys. You want to stump Google or Bing. What do you search for?
Civil conversation social media.
That would stump it. Jonah?
Sidekick with Matt Myra.
There it is.
Sticks the
landing. That is the answer. You did it, boys. You may not have the answer, but you do have almost 10, which is 8.5. I'm so glad we got to do this, you guys.
It was fun, wasn't it?
Can I get the raw audio of this, and we'll just put this out as a podcast?
It's funny you say that.
I don't have to ask you anything. I'll just take it.
Well, hang on. It's funny you say that, because this is available in audio form as a podcast. The Sidekick with Matt Myra podcast.
It could also,
Network.
That could also be a Nerdist podcast. Because you know why, guys? Guys, 7-year anniversary.
It is our seven-year anniversary. This week we did it. 7 years. It all started in Tom Lennon's guest house.
It did.
And a slide whistle and Jonah being Jonah.
Yeah, I wanted to do a podcast. I called Jonah Ray. Hey, do you want to be on a podcast? Sure. Hey, Matt, do you want to produce a podcast? Sure. I called Tom Lennon. Can we come to your house? Yeah, sure. That's fine. And then, we did it on Super Bowl Sunday 2010, put it up Monday, and we've been putting them up ever since.
I believe my response was, what's a podcast?
Yeah.
And I still don't know. You never asked.
I'm sorry. You'll still have to figure
and
it out.
And I worked at the Genius Bar, so I knew.
You worked at the Genius Bar,
Guys, I'm so glad we got to do it. Maybe we should do it again next season, if there is a next season. Chris, please make it next season.
Oh, look at the time.
Oh, God. That was my show. Once again, thank you to Jonah Ray for really doing it. Don't forget to check him out on Hidden America on CISO, and get ready for Mystery Science Theater 3000 coming soon to Netflix. And thanks to Chris Hardwick. If you don't know where to find him, I can't help you, but I still will. Check him out on At Midnight on Comedy Central and The Wall on NBC. And because you care and because it's mutual, I'm Matt Myra. Thank you all for a fantastic season. I'm looking at the wrong camera. Now I'm back over here. The tally lights are broken. Be sure to check out the entire first season of Sidekick with Matt Myra on ProjectAlpha.com. You've been wonderful. Goodbye. Thank you to my crew. Thank you to my writers. We'll see you again next season.
Jay Marino!
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.
Once upon a beat! Remember the stories and fables that captured your imagination when you were young? We have a perfect podcast to bring you the stories you remember, remixed and reimagined for the kids in your life today. Yeah. Wondery and Tinkercast are bringing you a music-filled weekly party hosted by me, DJ Fuse, and my trusty turntable, Baby Scratch, spinning tales in the New Kids and Family podcast, Once Upon a Beat, where hip-hop and fables meet. Hey, grown-ups, listen to Once Upon a Beat early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. Once Upon a Beat.